Good evening. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Senator Larry Craig of Idaho has recently announced that he's going to stay in Congress till the end of his term. This did not make his Republican colleagues very happy. They want him out of there. Interestingly, the Democrats haven't commented much on Senator Larry Craig and his wide stance in the bathroom. At least that's what he says it was. But, of course, he did plead guilty to infelicitous behavior, shall we say, in a Minnesota airport bathroom. The judge said that he can't take away the plea. And Larry Craig said he's going to stay in the Senate. But what is this race? Here you have a man, a Republican senator, a conservative Republican, someone who always votes against gay rights, who's having sex in bathrooms with men. Is this a common practice? Is this just some kind of outlier? Are there a lot of men, or maybe even women, having sex in bathrooms? Who are these people? Why are they doing it? Are they mostly married people? And what does it mean for our society? To help answer these questions, I've invited John Craig, who I should assure you is no relation to Larry Craig. But John Craig has a master's in social work. He is the co-founder of the Straight Partners Group. And what he does is fascinating. He counsels straight married people who are married to gay or bisexual men or women. He also counsels gay and bisexual men and women who are married to men and women. Many people who are opposed to gay people marrying each other say that gay people should marry straight people. We're going to talk about whether that's a good idea and how that affects the family. John Craig, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark.
Let me start. You're the co-founder of the Straight Partners Group. How did this come about?
Well, actually, Whitman Walker is a clinic here in Washington, D.C. that has many clients in the gay, lesbian, bisexual community. And often, if a man or woman discovers that their spouse or partner is perhaps gay or bisexual, they will contact Whitman Walker and want a place to talk this over with others in a similar situation. So the Straight Partners Group is, again, for straight men or women who have a spouse or partner who's questioning their sexuality.
And it's also for the gay or bisexual person who's having trouble figuring out what to do with the person they married as well.
Actually, that's a separate
volunteer. It's a separate group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's another one that you have been
exactly.
A counselor
I work
for.
With gay married men. In other words, gay men who have been married to women.
Right.
And bisexual men who've been married to women. So these are men in...
So you would counsel people in Senator Larry Craig's position and people in his wife's position as well.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Senator Larry Craig. He was caught and pled guilty to having... Well, he didn't quite have sex. He, I guess, solicited sex from an undercover police officer.
Correct.
In a Minneapolis airport. Had a wide stance, sat on the toilet, spread his foot out to touch the police officer's
right.
foot, reached under... How common is this behavior?
Well, I think that's hard to measure. It's certainly not uncommon.
Well, it's common enough for the Minneapolis police to start a sting operation,
exactly.
obviously, so
right.
it happened before.
Right, and you know, gay men know that there has been a situation for decades in this country, especially because homosexuality has been so repressed that in many cases in the past, especially, gay men have been forced to, you know, seek sexual connections in places like bathrooms.
Well, of course, there was a time, in fact, as recently as 2002 in Virginia, where it was illegal for two men to have sex, two women to have sex. That was overturned in Lawrence v. Texas. But since
right.
2003, there is no reason why a self-respecting gay man or gay woman would need to go to a public bathroom because it's
sure.
legal.
Right. Still, there's a strong sex drive, especially in males, and sometimes, you know, there's a fascination with fast sexual encounters on the spur of the moment, even in a public place. Sometimes it is related to sexual addictions, where there's actually a thrill, the danger of the entire process.
Of being caught.
The danger of being caught in a public place is actually something that for some men can heighten the experience because danger, you know, it's like daredevils in any situation. Why do people climb Mount Everest or run motorcycles off the edge of the Grand Canyon? There's a thrill in danger. So that sometimes can play into this situation.
Okay, so part of the reason that men might do this would be an adrenaline rush.
Correct.
Or even a sexual attraction to the adrenaline rush.
Yep.
Another reason might be the fact that they're married and they don't want to have, a more lasting affair with someone.
Sure. Maybe it's perceived by many of these men that it's safer than going into a gay bar. But, of course, these days you can get on the internet and arrange a private meeting. So there does seem to be an element of a desire for a thrill or a danger rush.
I wonder if there may be a generational thing. Senator Craig is an older man. At that time, he may not know how to go to the particular sites on the internet to meet men, but he may have known of the old bathroom trick, which presumably has been around for centuries. I don't know.
He probably knows about the internet connections that are available, but it is true that in decades gone by, probably when he was in college, you know, it might have been the only way for many men to make a sexual connection in a town where there was no gay bar, for example, to go to a public restroom.
Now, Senator Larry Craig has said publicly and quite forcefully, you know, he says, I am not gay.
Right.
I am not gay. I may have sex with men, he doesn't really admit that, but I'm not gay. What does that mean? Why would someone who regularly has sex with men say he's not gay? Is he lying to himself? Is he lying just to us? Or is he bisexual? What's going on, do you think?
You know, it's hard to tell, and it could be any one of those things, perhaps. He may be bisexual and aware that he is attracted both to men and women. In that case, he's telling the truth. He's not gay.
Yeah, but he's only telling partially to truth.
Partially.
It's like what the definition of is. He could say, I'm not gay, I'm bisexual.
Exactly.
He didn't say that.
Exactly.
He said, I'm not gay to presume us to think he's straight, right?
That's true, but technically speaking, he might be correct, you know, saying that he isn't gay, he is bisexual.
Let's say he is bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Is there as much of a stigma in our society to being bisexual as there is to being gay?
Oh, I think there's much more of a stigma.
More of a stigma?
Yes.
To being bisexual.
When James McGreevy came out as gay, I would say he's not, I would say he's probably bisexual. But to say he's bisexual in this environment today, the word bisexual just has explosive connotations.
Well, let's talk about it. First of all, let's give a clinical definition. Mm-hmm. I know that Alfred Kinsey devised a terrific scale.
Right.
Tell us about that, and what is gay and bisexual? What does that mean?
Well, Kinsey's scale runs from 0 to 6, and with 0 being heterosexual and 6 being homosexual. And they're all degrees of shades of gray in between, you might say. I believe Kinsey said that maybe a 2, a 3, or a 4 would be classified as bisexual. But basically, the word bisexual tends to mean to most people that there's some element of homosexual and heterosexual attractions in a single
individual. Men and women attracted to both men and women.
Exactly.
And perhaps one more than the other, or perhaps equally.
Right, and it could change over time.
And it could change over time.
Sure.
Well, now, how does that go back to gay people who say, hey, this is not a choice? Don't demean us like that.
It's probably not a choice for most gay men and lesbians because they are on their
They're number six.
They're number six. For them, it isn't a choice. They're exactly right. But what they don't perceive is that there are many people who are between, you know, 2 and 5.
So if you are bisexual, then it is a choice. You can choose to be
with
a man. You can choose to be with a woman. In your practice, and you've counseled, I don't know how many people, certainly dozens of straight partners and of the gay and bisexual, what percent, roughly, I don't know if you've done statistics, of the non-straight married spouse, how many of them are really gay or lesbian, and how many of them are bisexual in your view? Half and half? More one than the other?
It's hard to say. I think, and it's not going to be a statistically relevant because it's just
right, it's just anecdotal
question.
In your counseling.
Right.
But I'm just curious.
But there are many of both. In other words, there are many. I've counseled many men who are bisexual, and many men who have just been, who have identified themselves in private as gay, but they have identified outwardly as heterosexual.
Is there a difference in the way you counsel couples between whether or not a straight person is married to a gay person or whether or not the straight person is married to a bisexual person? Because if the straight person is married to a bisexual person, that bisexual person could be monogamous with their spouse. They may not want to be monogamous.
Exactly.
But certainly bisexual people can be just as monogamous as anybody else.
I think that's another reason that James McGreevy, if he is bisexual, stated that he was gay.
Because people would understand more the way he cheated on his wife if he was gay than if he was bisexual.
Yes, and also if he said he's bisexual, they'd say, well, then stay with your wife. You know, just say no to the homosexual side of your personality.
Is it harder for a bisexual person to be monogamous than a gay or straight person?
It may be, it may not be. You know, I mean...
So everyone's individual on that.
Bill Clinton obviously has a very strong sexual drive.
Yes,
and
he's straight.
And he's a totally heterosexual man, it seems. So, you know, you might have a bisexual man or woman who is perfectly content being with one partner or the other. I mean, with one partner.
Do you find that men like Senator Craig people who come from an extremely conservative state, Idaho, right. A man who has a strong voting record, in fact, against gay rights, against women's rights, the people in his position who happen to be either bisexual or gay find it virtually impossible to express that orientation?
Oh, sure. I think the pressure on someone like Craig is terrific because he cannot express this in his day-to-day life. He's really forced to express it in some shadowy circumstance, whether it's in a hotel room in privacy or, you know, in a public restroom, something like that.
So let's say Senator Craig's wife came to you and said, you know the story, you've seen it on the news, my husband is a U.S.
Right.
Senator, I'm coming to Whitman Walker, I live in Washington, what should I do? He says he's not gay. And, you know, he says he just has a wide stance.
Right.
Should I stay with him? Should I leave him? What would you counsel her?
Well, I would say that she should take time to explore the issue with him in private and perhaps with a therapist or in whatever other context she could, because she needs to discover whether her husband is actually bisexual or literally, you know, essentially gay. Right.
What about the denials? He says he's straight. He just has a white stance. Would you counsel her? I mean, she may want to believe that because that certainly makes her feel better.
She's got an unusual situation because she's in a relationship with a public figure.
Someone's in the same situation, but he's not a public figure. Okay, exact same situation.
Right.
He's
low profile.
A low profile person, but he's arrested. He denies that it happened. He pled guilty. But at the same time, after it discovers it, he says, no, I'm really straight, and I just have a white stance, and you got to believe me, wife.
Right.
What would you tell her?
Well, she might be involved with a man who is in such denial about the realities of his sexuality that he may totally believe he's heterosexual and this is something else that's going on. But it's
so not, he may truly believe he's
it's
straight.
It's possible. That's the power of denial. Now, Freud talked about this. You can deny just about anything to yourself that you really don't want to believe about yourself.
So there are men, and there's, of course, the famous Down Low group of African-American men.
Right.
But there are men who basically say, I'm straight. I'm not gay. I just have sex with men.
We get into language problems here, too, because for many Americans, especially American males, the word gay implies effeminate and it implies a certain lifestyle, and they don't identify at all with that. You know, they love football and all of the so-called stereotypical things that heterosexual males tend to be identified with, as opposed to, you know, wanting to go into interior decorating or hair. We're talking about stereotypes.
Well, but when they say gay, would they say also, I'm not homosexual? I mean, or is this really...
Sometimes the word homosexual is also associated with the word gay, so that in HIV prevention, they have come up with a new term. It is called... men who have sex with men.
Interesting. I know, for example, blood banks, before you give blood,
ask
you if you're male if you've had sex with men. They don't ask you whether you're gay.
Exactly.
Or homosexual, anything like that. I want to encourage you folks to join in the discussion. This is not just about John Craig and myself. It's about you as well. There's a local number on your screen, 571-749-1166. There's also a toll-free number, 888-488-MARK. We want to hear from you. If you'd rather comment on the blog than talk with us directly for anonymity purposes, that's fine too. Go to radioinsidescoop.com, type in your questions, we'll read them on the air. This is a fascinating topic. We'll be right back with John Craig right after this.
Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister, stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, Mr. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened stir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I'm talking with John Craig. He has a master's in social work. He is an addictions counselor at the Nova Hospital. But we're talking mostly about his work as the co-founder of the Straight Partners Group. He counsels straight men and women that are married to gay or bisexual men and women, people of the opposite sex. He also counsels gay and bisexual men who find themselves in this situation. If you want to call in, we want to hear from you. I'll only use your first name. And if you really want to be anonymous, you can even type on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Gary from Fauquier County, welcome to The Inside Scoop.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, me too. When you're talking about considering if someone's gay or not, I don't know, like, what the standards are, but I just, like, it's hard to judge, because I don't consider myself gay, but I mess around with guys.
Well, if he messes around with guys, is he gay or bisexual?
Well, I think we're getting back to language, and it's a very important question there. There's a lot of, especially in young people, especially perhaps young males, a lot of a strong impulse to try sexual experiments, and just to connect with other males in all sorts of ways. Sex is a sort of peak experience, not unlike perhaps for some people mountain climbing or racing cars fast. So you get a kind of an adrenaline rush, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to live a gay lifestyle.
But isn't it, Gary, are you still on? Or did we lose you? We lost Gary.
No.
Oh, no, he's still on.
Gary Conlon, the loft.
Okay, yes. No, I'm glad you're still here. I don't mean to be harsh on Gary, but
yeah.
I'm wondering if people are really in denial. I mean, if you're a man and you like to mess around with other men, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But wouldn't it be
Amen.
Better?
Amen.
But wouldn't it be better, because I'm attacking now, Gary, simply to admit to yourself, and whether you admit to others, that's your choice, that you're at least bisexual. If you mess around with men and women, you're bisexual. If you mess around mostly with men, then you're gay, and there's nothing wrong with it. But if you deny it to yourself, then I would think that could cause a problem.
Yeah, that answers it. I don't mess around with women. It's just about the male's body that revs my engine, Danny Conlon in the loft.
I'm sorry?
Just something about the male's body. Like, I used to be into the girls, but now more, something about it just changed.
Well, let me just encourage you, Gary, to be who you are, whatever you are.
Thank you. Light the fire, my friend.
And I appreciate that. But the only thing I'm concerned is that people like Gary don't get enough support in our society.
Oh, I think that's true.
Amen.
That's true. And it's very hard to admit these things. I think Gary may have a problem that if he says he's bisexual or sometimes has had gay experiences in a society that tends to say you're either gay or straight, he will be slotted as gay. So he'll be identified in his peer group as gay.
One of the things I've noticed, particularly with young... Do you mind if I ask you how old you are, Gary?
How old? Oh, 18.
18. Perfect. What I've noticed, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, that particularly with people who are about 18 today, my generation is Generation X, this is Generation Y, this is
right.
The next generation, people from about, let's say, 15 to 25, they're almost beyond these labels, gay, straight, bisexual. If they like someone and they want to mess around with someone, they do it, and, you know, labels be damned.
That's an increasing trend, apparently. I haven't read statistics about it, but just by talking to younger people these days, that's very true what you're saying.
Is that a healthy trend in your view?
I think it's healthy because it acknowledges the fact that there is a range here of activity and attractions and identities as well. And so, especially with young people, there's a need to explore sexuality, hopefully safely, but a need to explore, to try on, if you will, different identities, including sexual identities, and find out who they are.
But would someone like Gary be wrong to marry a woman? In your view?
I think he's got to wait a few years before he gets married and figure out, you know, how he wants to make a commitment and which direction he wants to make a commitment.
Gary, you choose not to label yourself as gay or bisexual? He's off now. All right. Anyway, it's very interesting, that call, because I think it expresses a lot of what we're talking about here. One of the things that you said before we came on air is that when you're treating gay or bisexual people, you treat men. You don't treat lesbians very much, or bisexual women.
Right. There is often a desire among gay or bisexual women to be in a woman's group.
They want to have a woman who's counseling them.
A counselor, yes, exactly. And also, there's different dynamics. You know, it's true, and everybody knows it, that men are sexually driven in ways that are quite different from the ways that women are sexually driven.
Tell us what the differences are.
Well, if you talk to anthropologists who study hormones, for example, they will tell you that Playboy magazine exists because males are triggered sexually through visual stimuli far more strongly than women are.
And what's interesting is that the most of the male pornography is for men as well.
Absolutely.
So you have female pornography for men and male pornography for men. Women don't buy pornography very
much. Women just don't. It's genetic, according to most, endocrinologists. It's a hormonal thing and it's genetic. Women are not wired in the same way men are to respond to visual stimuli, sexual stimuli.
Okay, so when you treat gay or bisexual men, it's an all-male group.
Right.
When you treat when you counsel straight partners, you counsel both straight men and women, and you mix them together.
Actually, I was co-leading that group with a woman, so we had a male leader and a female.
And was it about equal, the number of men and women in the group?
Yes, it usually was.
Did you find that straight men react differently to the fact that their wife is having sex with women than, say, straight women do the fact that their husband is having sex with men?
Sometimes, yes. Quite often, a woman is concerned. Most women are aware that a lot of bisexual or gay men can get into these patterns of high-speed anonymous sex, fast-lane sex, whereas heterosexual men are aware that gay or bisexual women generally don't get into that kind of activity.
So
there's more of a fear among women with a bisexual or a gay partner, male partner, that there might be some disease.
Sexually transmitted disease.
Exactly.
Because, so is it fair to say that straight women married to gay men, the gay man or bisexual man is more likely to have a lot of sexual partners?
It may be. It's possible.
And that if you have a straight man married to a lesbian or bisexual woman, she's more likely to have an affair with one woman that she falls in love with.
That's probably statistically accurate.
Do the men and the women in your groups tend to speak out about equally? Are men more vocal than women about these things, or?
Well, I think both sides are pretty vocal.
Yeah. Now, are the straight partners, are they angry? Are they sad? Do they want a divorce? What are the emotions of them?
Often there's shock at first, and then there's anger, and then there's sadness as well. All of these emotions usually come into play. They're having to reorient themselves as to who it is that they are married to and have been married to.
Most of the time, does the bisexual or gay partner, do they confide in their straight spouse prior to the marriage or during the marriage, or is this usually just discovered years into it?
This is another place where in all these questions there's a range of different situations, and that's what's so important to understand here. There are men who told their wives that they had had sex with men before they ever married that woman.
And the woman decided to marry the man anyway.
She said, this is probably a phase he's gone through. You know, he's clearly in love with me, and so this is what we're going to do. And then later, those feelings may have, you know, become stronger for different kinds of psychological reasons.
You mentioned the range here. Is there a range, do you find this more common in white or African American or Latino or Asian communities, or pretty much across racial lines?
It's extremely difficult to measure these things because people don't always tell the truth on questionnaires, and so it's hard. I would imagine it's the same in most, you know, in most different ethnic groups.
Do you find there's a difference among age? Is this more likely to happen with men and women in their 60s before the gay rights movement happened than, say, couples in their 20s?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, but I imagine it's pretty consistent. I think in older generations it was handled differently, much more like Larry Craig handled it.
How was it handled 30, 50 years ago?
Oh, I think much more of the situations like the one Larry Craig found himself in, and
Hush, hush. Do they stay together? They don't get a divorce as often.
Right. Well, let's see. You know, it all again depends on the situation. There are many women who will stay married, even to a man who says he is gay, to keep the family together.
What do you counsel a woman like that? I mean, do you just let them sort of do what they want to do, or do you ever counsel a woman or a man and say, you know what, I think you need to leave the guy?
Well,
or the woman.
I personally like to lead them through the process of exploring all the alternatives and exploring themselves and not recommend anything.
So you say, if you get a divorce, what happens? If you stay, what happens?
Right.
And sometimes I assume they stay together but agree to have a more open marriage.
Sometimes that does happen. Absolutely. I've had all sorts of situations. One man and his wife decided they bought the house adjacent to their own backyard, and she was going to live in the house so that they could raise their kids somewhat together. But she identified as gay, and he was, you know, torn to pieces at first. He slowly kind of put himself back together and began to date other women.
You know, what's fascinating about this question is, for all the free discussion we're having about it, this isn't a topic that you see very often. I don't see it on CNN, MSNBC. It's apparently quite common, and yet why are free people so afraid to discuss this obvious thing that occurs across cultures, across generations?
It goes back to the stigma around homosexuality. And even the straight partner will feel that in a way they are coming out because it has been discovered that their partner is gay or bisexual.
Do they blame their partner? Do they blame themselves? Do they just say, this is all secret, we don't want to talk about it? I mean, is it different from a man or a woman having an affair? Let's say it's a totally straight example. Or is it very similar?
It is very different because you have this added component of the stigma attached to homosexuality and the profound failure in our culture to understand homosexuality. I think that's very important as well, Mark. Homosexuality has been in the shadows for hundreds of years. You can't see things clearly that are if they're in the shadows.
We're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about the difference between having an affair, which is certainly something that people don't want to talk about, and when your partner is having an affair with someone of the same sex. What are the psychological differences? Because when it's an affair, if it's a straight example, you may think, so someone doesn't love me anymore, but if it's someone of the same sex, it's almost like, how do you deal with that? You can't help it. It's a different situation. Folks, I really want to encourage you to join in, just like Gary did. It's 749-1166. The number's on your screen. We'll be right back after this.
Some people in Fairfax County don't know what public access means.
Some think it's just another channel on the dial.
But it's much more than that.
It's the voice of the people.
People like you.
Your neighbors, your friends,
or your family.
People who want to share ideas,
opinions,
cultures, lifestyles,
art,
sports,
music,
events, entertainment,
history,
science,
beliefs.
People who want to learn about television,
producing,
directing,
cameras,
audio,
lighting,
editing, or radio, talk, music.
Whatever you think people should hear.
Public access is the place where everyone has a voice.
And it's the place where that voice gets heard.
A place where you can create your own form of personal expression.
So what do you want to say?
Whatever it is.
You can say it here.
Because we're public access.
For the people.
By the people.
It is about balancing our choices between the gray of the concrete jungle and the stunning beauty of the real one, between a stoic facade of granite and the fury of the canyon. It's why there's EarthShare, the simple way to find balance. EarthShare is the workplace giving program bringing the leading environmental groups under one umbrella. Support EarthShare, support them all. EarthShare. Please ask your employer about workplace giving. To learn more, visit our website. Thousands of kids in this country have everything it takes to go to college, except the money. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, with a fascinating discussion beyond sexuality. I'm talking with John Craig. He has a master's in social work. He's the co-founder of the Straight Partners Network. He treats straight spouses of gay or bisexual people, and also the gay and bisexual people who are married between gay and straight. We were talking before the break about the difference between purely straight example, where a man or a woman is having an affair, which is certainly something people don't want to talk about and they certainly don't want to express,
right,
and the difference between someone having an affair with someone of the same sex. Why isn't it the same? I mean, it's embarrassing and it's non-monogamous and all that kind of stuff. How's it different?
Well, obviously, well, for the straight spouse, it represents a threat that they feel they can't address or meet. In other words, if they're thinking they might want to compete with the individual who is having the affair with their spouse, they can't compete with a male. Say a woman who has a husband who's having an affair with a man. The wife thinks she can't compete.
Yeah, but you know, if a man's having sex, if he's having an affair with another woman, I mean, how much can the wife compete with that either? I mean, he's decided to cheat on his wife.
Right.
I don't know. The woman feels like she can bring him home.
It's categorically different. There's many. If she feels that her husband is looking for a male connection, she can't possibly.
She knows the marriage is over.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
No, but she knows she can't provide a male connection for her husband.
Right.
He's looking for a male connection. She
right.
can't provide it.
So it's not about him losing love for her or about the difficulties of their relationship or anything that she could work on and fix.
Exactly. And this is why it's very important for Americans to get more solid education in sexuality around many of these issues, because there are many psychological dynamics that are very subtle that are at work here. For example, a man may need a male partner in order to sort through some identity issues about masculinity that he cannot sort through with a woman. He might do that with a male friend, but he might also do that with a male partner who is he's in an affair with.
So it might not even require a sexual thing. It just, I mean, there's male-male bonding that's necessary.
Absolutely.
For men, completely straight men in a non-sexual way.
Heterosexual men often have a best friend or a male mentor who has a profound psychological impact on their development.
Why is it important? Let's get away for a second from gay and bisexual. Why is it important for men, straight men, to have a strong male friendship apart from the strong friendship that a man might have with his wife?
Right. This gets back to the old saying, monkey see, monkey do. We are primates. We observe other primates, especially of our same gender, and we model our behavior on our heroes, usually of the same gender. So a young man, will often have an older male figure that he will model his behavior on as a mentor figure. It rarely is true that the chief mentor for any male is a woman. The same on the other side.
Same with a woman. Mm-hmm. She doesn't usually model herself after a man.
Exactly.
She wants to model herself after a woman.
Most of the
time.
Okay,
so it seems very healthy then for straight or gay, for men or women, to have female or male role models.
Right.
That makes sense. What's the difference then between a male who wants a male role model and a man who wants to have sex with a man? Is it just something you're born with, a different sexual orientation, or is there some psychology there that needs to be explored?
Well, you know, again, we're back to the fact that in ancient societies it was believed that most men, for example, would be attracted to other men at different times.
That's the ancient Greece.
That was in ancient Greece and in Rome as well.
Right.
So you have there a sort of a power connection. The reason is that a younger male who models himself or has a close relationship with an older male can have doors opened for him into power circles and things like that. The more intimate the relationship, it doesn't have to be sexual, but it might be sexual.
See, but what you're saying borders on something that's extremely dangerous and extremely mm-hmm. taboo, and makes me think of those Predator shows on Dateline. Because
sure.
what you're suggesting is, while it's perfectly natural for an older person to mentor a younger person,
right.
whether male, female, or anything else, obviously, to the extent you have someone underage, this can become a very dangerous thing. And we know
of
examples.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's not even a straight or gay thing. We know of examples, the actress who slept her way to the top, you know,
sure.
or the actor who might sleep with a powerful older man to get what he wants.
Well, I think Monica Lewinsky was obviously infatuated by the power of Bill Clinton. You know, there's no way around that.
When is it healthy? Let me ask you, as a mm-hmm. social worker, and when is it unhealthy?
Well, I think you have to have boundaries, and you also need to educate especially younger people. But if you have a young man of 30 who has a relationship with an older man and he's choosing
50.
Then you might have a reasonably healthy relationship. It could be a very healthy relationship in certain cases. You want to, you have to make decisions about monogamy in these cases, and monogamy is a very important issue. I think that just because people may have attractions in both directions, it certainly does not mean that they have to act on.
Well, that brings me back to the point we made earlier, where we were talking about the straight woman with the man who slept with a man. Now, if you said if he sleeps with another woman, she can compete, is the words you used. If the man is bisexual rather than gay, then she can compete, right? I mean, if she's married to a bisexual man rather than a gay man, and he's having sex with men, then actually she can compete, to use your words. She can bring him home. It's a monogamy issue rather than an orientation issue.
It might well be. The point here is that these are complicated issues.
And how do you know? How do you treat someone like that?
Well, you have to get them, first of all, to start acknowledging the realities that have been denied for a long time. And that's one of the hardest things. The society.
Sadly, Senator Craig is having trouble with that.
Oh, sure. I mean, this has been going on for decades in his marriage. It's going to be so.
Now, how do you know this? I mean, we don't know
this. Okay, it's probably been going on.
Why? Because a guy that has sex in the bathroom.
It may not.
No, I don't know. No.
It may not.
I don't know. But in your view, in your experience as someone who's treated and counseled these people, a guy that has sex with another man in a bathroom at age 65 or 70, it's probably not his first time.
That's be my guess.
That people who've done that have probably done it quite a few times.
Most of the men in my groups were actually in their 50s and 60s, or late 40s, 50s, and 60s. And they would reflect back to their college years when they went, for example, into men's rooms or downtown to a gay bar, or just met friends and had encounters with other men. But then they didn't want to go in that direction. They felt that it was a dark area of their life, and they wanted to deny it even existed.
Well, it's interesting, because if you come from an extremely religious culture, and it could be fundamentalist Christian, it could be Orthodox Jewish, it could be fundamentalist Muslim, it could simply be, you know, it could be any religion. I'm not attacking any religion particularly.
Right.
But if you come from a strict tradition of whatever sort that says homosexuality is bad or evil or wrong, then you find more of this furtive behavior.
You often do, yes, because it's so repressive within that religious community that they have to seek, a man or woman will have to seek same-sex connections outside that community.
Now, I'm curious to know, in those communities, what happens. Obviously, this isn't a new, we're talking about it as new, but this isn't a new phenomenon.
Right. It's probably getting more publicity than before.
But it's been going on centuries, I assume,
Sure.
Or millennia,
for
that matter.
Absolutely.
So, what is different now? I mean, what happened in the past? In the 1950s, the 1940s, if you had a fundamentalist Christian caught having sex in the bathroom, is it hush-hush? Do they hide it?
I don't know the history of that exactly, but I think at times it would be revealed in newspapers, and that would be the end of a marriage, the end of a career, and the man involved or woman might leave town and, you know, go to New York City. I mean, literally. This
completely kind of shunned, their life is over.
It could well have been. Could have destroyed their lifestyle.
Okay, so now here we are in 2007, and this is happening, and hopefully we don't ostracize people enough to send them to New York. We might ostracize Senator Craig for being a hypocrite, for voting against gay rights while he himself is gay, but I assume you have sympathy, both for the straight partner and for the gay partner in most cases.
Sure, and I think Larry Craig may be inadvertently, he may be a pioneer in this area, because he is backtracking.
Definitely inadvertently.
He is saying, no, wait a minute, maybe I'll stay in my job. And I wouldn't be surprised if after 6 months he says, I may run again for office.
Really?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you think he should stay in his job?
Well, it may make sense in some ways, even for the people of Idaho. He does, in fact, have seniority. And he can bring more good things to the people of Idaho through that seniority.
Here's what's interesting. As a conservative Republican, every single Republican in Congress who's spoken out on this issue, every one of them, Mitch McConnell all the way down, has said he needs to go.
Right.
The Democrats haven't said that. Usually you have a scandal, a Mark Foley scandal, for example, or it's not always sexual. You could have Duke Cunningham or John Doolittle or people, you know, caught taking money, and you find the Democrats are saying, look at Duke Cunningham, he's practiced bribery, and Republicans are saying, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Tom DeLay, Democrats, he's a bad guy. In this case, you have members of his own party saying, get the heck out of here. And the only positive words I've heard spoken were by Democrats. Barney Frank, for example, said he didn't think that Craig had to leave his job.
Right.
He said that, you know, if he were stealing money from the taxpayers, that would be one thing, but a wide stance. I think, as Barney Frank put it, it's one thing not to trust a man with taxpayers' money. It's quite another thing not to trust a man to go to the bathroom by himself.
Okay.
Barney Frank said what he did really isn't that big a deal.
Well, I think the Republican leadership is more unforgiving than liberal leadership, Democratic leadership, or the public at large.
The
public at large, I think, is ready to forgive these kinds of things. I really do think.
You think the Idaho public is ready to forgive this?
It may even prove that the Idaho electorate out there is ready to forgive this. As they get used to the idea, as time goes by, you know, these things are changing right now.
Which do you think harmed Craig more? The public sex, which after all is the only illegal behavior, it's not illegal, at least since Lawrence v. Texas, for gay people to have sex at all in any state. It's not illegal to be gay, it is illegal to have sex in public.
Right.
Which do you think harmed Craig more, public sex or sex with a man?
That's very hard to sort out, and that's a very tricky.
What if it had been, okay, it wouldn't be a bathroom, but let's say it had been, you know, in some public park, and he was having public sex with a woman. How do you think the situation would be different? Would the public be more accepting of that?
Oh, I think so, because there's a stigma about homosexuality.
Even though that's just as illegal to have sex in public in a park.
Sure, there's still a huge stigma around public homosexuality, especially, of course, in conservative circles.
So does it behoove a man? Let's say a gay man comes to you, or let's say gay, leave bisexual out for the moment. Gay man comes to you, he's 50 years old. He's been married to his wife for 25 years. He's got two kids, let's say they're about college age, and he says, you know, John, as my counselor, I really want to have sex with men. I'm from this conservative Christian family, and I did this because I felt it was the right thing to do, but I've been gay all my life. I want to explore this, but I love my wife. I care for her. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sexually attracted to her.
Right.
My kids are grown up. I don't know what to do. Do I tell her? Do I tell my family? I'm really scared.
Right.
What would you counsel that man?
I would help him to explore the emotional realities he's dealing with. And
is that a common situation, the one I gave
you? It's not uncommon at all. Not uncommon at all. In fact, in this era, it's happening more and more. Because most of these men, if they're 50, they grew up in a very repressive era. And yet now, everything is changing, and there's much more acceptance of homosexuality. So suddenly, there is a door open to these men that wasn't open 20 years ago. Like with James McGreevy, you know.
Former governor of New Jersey, was caught with his gay lover on the payroll while married to a woman.
Right. He would have closed many doors in his career that would have been open to him, you know, that were open to him because he chose the heterosexual route in his life.
And yet you think that as hard as it is to be gay in America, it's even harder to be bisexual.
Oh, sure, because it has there's many misunderstandings about bisexuality.
What are those kinds?
Well, the first one is that you are probably a sexual adventurer. You probably sleep with multiple partners all the time.
People assume bisexual means non-monogamous.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't.
It does not.
Bisexuals can be just as monogamous as anybody else.
Absolutely.
It's just attraction, not to this partner.
Right.
Folks, it's your last chance to join in the debate, and I really want to encourage you to do so. The number's on your screen, 571-749-1166. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. If you want to write in, you can write in anonymously. Go to the blog, radioinsidescoop.com. Click on today's show, write whatever question you have. It's your last chance to ask of someone who's counseled a very unusual topic, but a very common situation. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day.
Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened stir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. We normally talk about politics, and indeed we are. Certainly the example of Senator Larry Craig of Idaho is a political question, but when you get to sexuality and gay and straight people married together, the issues are often broader than a simple political issue. My guest is John Craig. He has a master's in clinical social work. He is the founder of the Straight Partners Group, and he does something that's very much needed in our society, but very rarely done. He does therapy for straight people who are married to gay or bisexual people, and also conversely to the straight or to the gay or bisexual partners of straight people. You know, it's interesting to me, John, in the whole debate over whether there should be marriage equality, whether gay people should be able to, men should be able to marry men, women should be able to marry women. It seems to me, I've asked people who strongly believe in this, strong religious leaders, if you had a gay son, if you had a lesbian daughter, what would you advise them? And usually they don't want to answer the question. They just don't want to answer the question. Sometimes they say, I want them to be celibate. But sometimes, I actually had one person say to me, I would insist that my gay son sublimate his sexuality, marry a woman, and just be that way. My question for you is that good for the son? And is it good for the woman that he would marry? For a gay, we'll leave bisexual out for a second, for a gay man to marry a straight woman or a lesbian woman to marry a straight man,
it would be a disaster for both of them.
Why?
Because they're not sexually attracted to their partner.
Why is that necessary in a marriage?
Well, for most people, it's a pretty important component, I'll say.
It's a pretty important component of a marriage. Because, right. You know, when I think back hundreds of years ago, there were a lot of arranged marriages.
You're correct about that, right. And often in those situations, there was a sexual partner tolerated on the
side.
Well,
that's true. The king may be forced to marry Catherine of Aragon, the Spanish cow.
Excuse me, sorry, Catherine.
But he has many mistresses in
right,
the court.
Exactly.
So you would say, I mean, the people who are saying gay people can't get married, if it's a disaster for the straight person and the gay person, and is it also a disaster, is it hard for someone to remain celibate all their lives? I mean, that would be the other option that people would say.
Most people will say it is going to be hard to be celibate all your life, you know.
Is it hard psychologically?
Oh, I think so. I
mean,
don't
priests
know.
Do it.
Yes, and they have a lot of trouble with it, I imagine.
Do you ever have, you ever counseled a priest?
I had a priest come from the Midwest to one of my weekend conferences for bisexual and gay married men. He called himself Bob. He paid for the weekend conference with cash, and we certainly never knew his name, his real name. Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. Now, you also have a specialty in dealing with addictions.
Right.
At Nova Hospital. And that, of course, includes drug addictions and all kinds of things that really aren't the topic of this conversation.
Right.
But one addiction in the psychological literature is sexual addiction.
Right.
What is sexual addiction?
Well, sexual addiction is a situation where the addictive substance is not a chemical you take in like alcohol or heroin from the outside. Rather, you in many ways become addicted to the adrenaline rush and other physiological changes that happen when you encounter a sexual situation, especially sometimes a dangerous sexual situation.
Now, is this what some would call, and this word is certainly pejorative, but a nymphomaniac? Is that a fair description or is that unfair?
It could be related to that situation. Again, I'm not an expert in sexual addictions, but I do know the basics of sexual addiction, and there are cycles or patterns of behavior that are very similar for those who continually seek sex, especially anonymous sex, and addicts.
Is there any connection between sexual addiction and the other subject we're talking about, which is gay and bisexual people married to straight people?
Well, sometimes there can be a partner who, like a woman, a heterosexual woman may be married to a gay or bisexual man who is involved in sexually addictive behaviors. And now sometimes these behaviors can come from or be triggered in some ways by low self-esteem. And so...
So that can be totally apart from sexual orientation, whether you have a sexual addiction or not. That's a completely separate question.
Absolutely. There's heterosexual addictions.
What about gender? Are men more likely to be sexual addicts than women?
I'm not sure what the statistics are. I imagine so, because men are more willing to, you know, seek out, or maybe have more opportunities to seek out fast lane anonymous sex.
Well, let me go back to my example of my 50-year-old man who's been true to his wife for 20 years, but has had this incredible painful urge to seek out male sexual. You've counseled men
like
that.
I've counseled many men like that.
He hasn't told his wife. He hasn't told anybody. Mm-hmm. It's been a burning secret. He has to tell someone. He tells you. What kind of emotions is that? What do you counsel the guy? I mean, how do you address that issue?
What kinds of emotions is he?
Yes.
Well, he's going to be fearful of how his life will change if he comes out, how his marriage might disappear or be dramatically changed. He might be afraid that if he does divorce and go into the gay world, will he be successful in that world? What will that world be like?
How about legally? Are courts more likely to give, let's say he has young children, so we'll make him in his 40s and his 50s. Are courts more likely to give children to the straight spouse than the gay spouse?
I would guess so. I don't know, again, statistics on that, and it could probably depend.
Probably depends on the state. It's probably a lot harder in Virginia than Maryland or Massachusetts,
right.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have equal rights. So how do you counsel a guy like that?
You have to counsel all these individuals to not make quick decisions. I think that's the first important thing. Educate themselves. Talk in confidence and confidentiality to as many friends and family members.
Should
perhaps
he talk to his wife?
Well, that's going to be a tough decision. And also, there's ways to begin a conversation there without saying, I'm gay or bisexual. Just talk about the subject of homosexuality in general, and maybe talk about some of these situations like the Larry Craig situation, just to get conversation going and find out where the spouse is with these kinds of issues.
And sort of see if the spouse might want what he might be able to get a sexual outlet and stay with his wife. He may want that.
Absolutely. Look at Hillary Clinton. She stayed in the marriage.
She stayed with her husband.
Okay.
She's doing quite well in that regard. Now, back to the straight spouses that come to your therapy group. It must be very interesting. Your group is, I guess, 5 or 6 people or so in a room.
Right.
Men and women, different walks of life.
Correct.
Educated people expressing themselves one way, uneducated people expressing themselves another way.
Right.
How does the group dynamic work when one person, a straight woman married to a gay man, hears a man married to a bisexual woman, how do they react off each other?
There is a very strong bond, usually formed very quickly.
Between the people in that group?
Absolutely, because they are very much isolated. They are very secretive about what's going on. And often their friends and family members will know, for example, that there may be a divorce going on, but they won't know why, because the sexual orientation component of the situation is
so they
suppressed.
Have no one to talk to. They can't
Absolutely.
Even talk to their minister or their priest or their rabbi.
I had a man whose wife told him she was a lesbian and she was going to live with a woman and divorce. But she did not want him to tell anyone in her family out of town that that's what was actually going on.
And that
on.
Puts a burden on him.
Because many of his friends thought, what is this divorce about? Were you running around, they would say to their male friend, when actually it was his wife who left the marriage, but he couldn't explain.
But how can she force him? I mean, if he wants to tell the truth to at least, maybe not her family, but to his family and friends, isn't that fair to
In that case, he had enough respect for her to want to go along with her wishes. He still loves it.
But isn't that living a lie?
Well, a lot of people are, you know, keeping certain information about their personal lives.
And sometimes that's the right thing to do.
I think in a lot of situations, if they're in a hostile environment, it's probably the very best thing to do. Yep.
Interesting. Now, I'm curious, in general, you've already said if a gay man and a straight woman or a gay woman and a straight man wanted to get married, you would counsel them not to do it. But once they're together, things get more complicated. Is it children usually that is the major difference that keeps people together? If you have a couple that's married for 5 years and the woman comes out as lesbian, you'd be more likely to counsel a split if they had no children than if they did?
Well, again, it depends. I always say if you are in a relationship that's committed, a marriage or whatever, you know, be conservative in this situation. Keep with that relationship while you explore the possibilities of how you might, you know, keep that marriage together. Because especially with children involved, you want to stay together for the kids in many cases, maybe in most cases.
Do you think our society makes it very hard? You've already said how these people are very secretive. What could we do in our society to make it easier for people to come out, not just as gay, and there's a lot of focus on coming out of the closet as gay or even bisexual, but also for straight partners? I mean, they have nothing to be ashamed of, right?
Right, right.
What can society do to make life easier for them?
Well, I think what has to happen here is that we all in our society open up and talk more directly about sexuality and sexual orientation.
Sex education?
Yes, and especially in terms of the Kinsey scale, that there is a range of sexual orientation, and it is not an either-or situation. This is one of the most astonishing things about the Larry Craig story, is that rarely was the word bisexual brought up, or the Kinsey scale was rarely, or if ever, I never saw it referred to.
Where can people get more information on the Kinsey scale and things like that?
Just any library book.
I'm just going to throw it out real quick, and people can definitely look it up more, but zero is exclusively straight. One
right.
is mostly straight with incidental homosexuality. Two is more straight than gay. Three is equal
right.
attraction to everyone. Four is more gay than straight. Five is mostly gay with incidental heterosexuality.
Right.
Six is pure gay.
Exactly.
And so all these categories, gay and straight, which people tend to bifurcate into, it's not. There's a whole scale.
Exactly.
And it's amazing that people aren't taught this, even in their sex education classes.
Well,
in
they
high school.
Often are exposed, or the Kinsey scale is presented, but it's not spoken about very much.
In very detail.
Yeah.
We're about running out of time. Really quick, if someone wants more information about you or what you do, where do they go?
There's a website I have called themaleexperience.com.
Themaleexperience.com.
Right.
John Craig, thank you very much
for
coming here on the Inside Scoop. Tune in next week, 6:30, another edition of the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine signing off.